Tantor Audio presents Hashtag Hater by Cambria Hebert, narrated by Chandra Sky and Eric Michael Summerer. Chapter 1. Hashtag Travel Trivia. More people are killed yearly by donkeys than by airplane crashes. Hashtag You are safe. Hashtag Unless you have a donkey. Alpha BuzzFeed. Rimmel. The white-knuckled grip I punished the armrests with did not loosen until the plane came to an absolute stop. Even then, my fingers only loosened as the loud sounds of the tunnel thing passengers walked through to enter into the airport terminal was rolled over and attached to the plane. The air was stuffy in here. Not really stale, but not fresh either. Everyone around me was restless. The flight had been full of turbulence, and the crying baby in the back did nothing to soothe everyone's frazzled nerves. I hated flying, but God, I was so glad to be back. I never thought I'd miss Maryland and its cold seasons this much. Of course, it wasn't really the place I missed. It was a person. Everyone started to file toward the door, crowding each other in their attempt to get the hell out of this flying death trap. I stood and waited for my turn, hefting my purse over my shoulder, and turned my cell phone back on. The second it lit up and I was able, I shot out a text. Landed. Getting off now. Romeo's response was instant, and I smiled. I'm waiting. I glanced out the tiny window behind me as if I would see him standing out there on the tarmac. I knew he wasn't, but I couldn't stop my eyes from scanning the open space. Butterflies somersaulted beneath my ribcage as a man passing by my row stopped and motioned for me to go ahead. I shot him a grateful smile and slid past him into the aisle. The flight attendant smiled and wished everyone well as we all stepped off the plane and onto the walkway that led to the terminal. I moved quickly, beyond anxious for my first glimpse of Romeo. I'd been in Florida almost 2 weeks, but it felt like a freaking eternity. As I went, I bumped into someone laden with a bulky piece of carry-on luggage and another bag, but I didn't stop. I muttered an apology and kept right on going. When I burst into the terminal, my eyes swept around, bouncing from person to person in the crowded, bustling space. My stomach fell a little when I didn't see him, but I knew he probably couldn't come this far. He was probably at baggage claim. I looked around for a sign to point me in the right direction and finally saw one labeled baggage claim with an arrow pointing off to the left, but I didn't follow the arrow. My eyes fixed on someone standing beneath the sign. His hands were jammed into the pockets of his well-worn slouchy jeans. The relaxed action pulled the waistband low, highlighting his flat, narrow waist his Henley tee molded to. As usual, he was wearing his varsity jacket, and his blonde hair was a mess. My gaze locked on his sapphire blue eyes and didn't let go. His eyes. Oh my God. His eyes. The blue was so intense it served as an emergency brake on everything in my life. The second I looked at him, everything else came to a screeching halt. I no longer noticed the huge crowd rushing around. The anxiety-causing flight was just a distant memory, and the 2 weeks I spent longing for his touch became something I would live through 10 times over, just to be in this moment with him again. His lips pulled into a smile, and the charm that oozed from every pore in his body made me almost lightheaded. Romeo pulled his hands out of his pockets and straightened, motioning for me. I rushed across the space separating us, my bag slapping against my side as I, for once, gracefully maneuvered around the people in my path. His chuckle brushed over me when I was just steps away, and I threw myself at him with a little sigh of relief. My legs wrapped around his waist and his arms locked around my back. I burrowed my head into his shoulder and inhaled deep, taking in his distinctive scent. "Rim," he murmured, his voice low. I pulled back and his lips were on mine instantly. The moment our lips touched, he stilled, his body and mouth pausing against mine. Before I could wonder why, he muttered a garbled curse against my mouth, and then his lips began to move. He kissed me softly, but fiercely. There was so much possession in the way he kissed me, in the way his arms locked around me, that my heart stuttered. I parted my lips so his tongue could sweep inside, and when my tongue met his, desire, hot and heavy, unfurled within me. Someone chuckled as they walked by, and Romeo retreated slightly, still letting his mouth linger on mine before completely pulling away. He rested his forehead against mine and he smiled. I really fucking missed you. Me too, I whispered. He dropped another quick kiss on my lips and then stood me back on my feet. I swayed a little, and he chuckled.
Come on, let's get your suitcase so we can go. I want to be alone with you.
My stomach dipped, and something inside me loosened. We held hands through the large terminal. He didn't even let go when he snagged my stuff off the baggage claim belt. Since I'd come from Florida, I was wearing only a short-sleeved t-shirt over a pair of loose sweatpants, so before we went outside into the cold Maryland air, I dug into my suitcase and pulled out the hoodie he gave me the night of our first kiss. I wore it all the time. After I pulled it on, I glanced over at him, smiling. What? I asked.
You took that to Florida?
Of course, I said. The evenings can get chilly this time of year.
And what did your dad have to say about you wearing some guy's sweatshirt around?
You aren't some guy. You're my boyfriend, I replied and reached for his hand.
And you finally told your dad about us?
He pressed. Yes, I did. Even though we'd been dating a couple months now, I'd just told my dad over winter break. I wasn't sure what he would say when I told him I was dating. He took it better than I thought, even went as far as to say he was happy for me.
And?
He took it a lot better than I thought he would. The surprise in my voice was evident, and Romeo glanced at me.
You really thought he'd be upset?
Yeah, I had. I mean, didn't all dads get upset when their little girl started dating? I shrugged, feeling silly. I guess I wasn't sure how he'd take it. When he asked me about the name on the back and I explained it was a nickname, a look of doubt crossed his face. And he said he wasn't sure how he felt about his daughter dating some guy who earned the name of a player. I braced myself then for an argument, but none came. He seemed to cut off whatever lecture he was about to launch into, and said as long as I was happy, that was all that mattered.
He must know I'm good for you.
Romeo kissed the side of my head as we walked outside. The wintry air took my breath, and I snuggled into the hoodie.
I parked as close as I could,
he said, noticing the way I grimaced against the cold. We hurried toward the lot where the Hellcat was parked in the short-term section. He opened the passenger door and ushered me inside, then tossed my stuff into the trunk. I leaned into the leather of the seat, marveling at how familiar this car was to me now. It was a one-hour drive from the airport to campus. We didn't really talk much, despite having plenty to talk about. Every time I thought to say anything, his thumb would gently stroke the inside of my palm, where our hands joined, and my skin would break out in goosebumps. The tension inside the car grew the longer we drove. I wanted him so badly, I could barely think or see. For someone who'd gone almost her entire life without sex, the last 2 weeks shouldn't have been a problem. But oh, they were. I ached for him. Just holding his hand made my skin tingle with anticipation. When we finally got off the interstate, Romeo turned abruptly onto some empty back road with trees on each side. Where are you going? I asked as he pulled over onto the side of the road and let the car idle.
I can't take it anymore, Rim.
He reached for me, practically lifting me out of the seat and pulling me across the center toward him. I was all too willing,
as I climbed into his lap to straddle him. He reached up into the messy bun on my head and pulled out the hair tie. The heavy mess that was my hair tumbled down over my shoulders and back as he carefully removed my glasses before burying his hands in and pulling me close. The kiss was all-consuming. It wasn't like at the airport, where he kept his desire in check. Instead, it surged out around me, and I rocked into his already rigid length and moaned low in my throat. My fingers slipped into his hair and massaged his scalp, and he worked his mouth over mine. I began to move atop him. I rocked back and forth, rotating my hips and pressing myself into the hardness beneath his jeans. He murmured my name, and his hands left my hair to grip my hips, urging me to move even faster. So desperate for release, I sucked his bottom lip into my mouth and pulled at it with my tongue and teeth. A sound, more like a plea, burst from my throat, and he swallowed it. I felt his smile against me, and a strangled chuckle floated up.
"Damn, Rimmel, I think you missed me as much as I missed you."
I was too far gone to talk. In response, I rocked against him again and shuddered at the urgency flooding my system. A frustrated sound bubbled up in my chest, and my hand slid down to either side of his neck.
"I know what you want, baby,"
he whispered, as his hand slid into the waistband of my sweats. My body stilled even as I yearned for him. His fingers delved into my pants, past the waistband of my panties, and brushed against the smooth center just above my slit.
"Romeo,"
I groaned and sagged forward, my forehead on his shoulder. His free hand came up to grip the back of my neck as his fingers found the moist heat of my center and slid farther down. I shuddered, and he groaned.
"You're already ready for me."
I couldn't say anything. All I could do was gasp as his finger flicked over my swollen clit and teased me with more. I reached for the waistband of his jeans, not caring at all that we weren't really in private. This car was private enough. I needed him so badly that I wasn't going to stop.
"Oh, no, you don't,"
he said, his voice strained. His words were a stark contrast to the way his hips tilted up, inviting my fingers.
"There isn't enough space in here for me to have you the way I want."
A broken sound escaped me, and he chuckled.
"But I'm gonna take care of you, right here, right now."
I shivered at his lusty promise as the pressure of his fingers increased and he pressed down on my sensitive button. The friction he created in my center with just his hand had my fingers curling into the front of his shirt, and I rocked into his touch. My entire world blew apart as the orgasm quaked through my body. I shuddered and shook, coming apart in his lap as he continued to stroke me, using my own juices to further my pleasure. Even after his fingers slowed, I rocked against him. The after effects of the orgasm were almost as good as the real thing. Long moments passed, and he removed his hand from my center and cupped my face. My eyes felt heavy. My brain was foggy as he kissed me softly, before putting me back into the seat and pulling the seatbelt across my chest.
"What about you?"
I murmured when the car started moving again.
"Don't you worry about me, baby. When we get to my place, I'll get mine."
Even though he'd just released some of the tension in my body, I already needed more.
"I hope you're ready."
He glanced at me with a wicked grin. My pulse jumped.
Oh, I was ready.
Chapter 2. Hashtag championships are coming. While you were off eating turkey and pie, the Wolves were kicking ass on the field. Hashtag 24 will take us all the way. Alpha BuzzFeed. Romeo. Rimmel burrowed beneath the comforter on my bed and pressed her naked body farther against mine. Even though we'd already had sex 3 times since we got here, my body responded to her touch. Just the feel of her silky bare skin rubbing against me was enough to make me want her all over again. She groaned and tucked her fingers between my side and the mattress. "I don't think I'm ever going to get used to the cold air here." I chuckled and kissed her forehead. "Just wait till it snows." "Ugh," she moaned. "I'll turn the heat up," I said, and started to move from beneath her. She clutched me closer and made a sound of determination. I laughed. It thrilled the shit out of me that she liked having me so close. "I thought you were cold," I said affectionately. "But you're warm." "I'll come right back. Kiss me," she demanded. She was definitely a shy person, but the more time we spent together, the less shy she was with me when we were alone. I loved it. It was like getting a glimpse of the person no one else saw. I rolled and pinned her beneath me, wrapping my arms under her back and pressing her naked torso against mine. Her mouth was willing and eager as her tongue stroked expertly against mine. It was a lazy kiss, and it wasn't short. I could explore the depths of her mouth for hours on end and still find new ways to make her groan. When the urge to plunge into her center became almost too much, I eased back. Her eyes were unfocused, and her lips were swollen as she smiled up at me. I wanted her so fucking bad, just as badly as I had when I saw her searching through the airport crowd with anticipation in her eyes. Going through all the extra security just to be at the gate when she came through had been well worth the hassle. The way her face lit up when she saw me caused my chest to tighten. I was used to attention from the opposite sex. Getting a girl to like me was never really a challenge. But Rimmel was different. She didn't bestow that look on just anyone. In fact, I'd never seen her look at anything or anyone the way she did me. Even the animals at the shelter, the ones she considered her friends. It wasn't a small feat for someone to make me feel like I was special. It was almost something I'd grown used to. It wasn't really anything I didn't expect. But with Rimmel, it was almost like she loved me in spite of all that. "You're driving me crazy," I murmured, stroking her hair away from her face. Her hand slid across the back of my shoulder and trailed down to my lower back. I groaned. "You're going to be hurting tomorrow, Rim." "I don't care," I smiled. "I know, but I do." She made a face at me and I kissed her nose. Pulling back wasn't something I wanted to do, but her body needed a break, at least for an hour. "I got you a present." Her eyes widened. "You did? Did you really think I wouldn't get you a Christmas present?" She shrugged beneath me. "I didn't expect you to. Besides, we spent Christmas apart." "What kind of boyfriend doesn't get a present for his girl?" I asked and slipped out of bed. She pulled the covers up over her, guarding against the air. I picked up my long-sleeved Henley from where I threw it on the floor and tossed it to her. I went and turned up the heat and hit the switch for the gas fireplace on the wall opposite the bed. Flames roared to life and filled the dim room with dancing orange. "This sure beats my dorm room," she half sighed. I laughed and turned. The breath I was taking in froze halfway to my lungs. She was sitting in the center of my bed, the blankets rumpled and piled around her. My shirt was way too large, and the neck slipped down low over one of her slim shoulders, exposing a wide patch of creamy skin. Her cheeks were pink, and her lips were swollen. The long, thick mass of her hair was tangled and messy, falling around her face and down her back. I'd missed her. I'd missed her even more than I'd let myself realize. But seeing her sitting there, taking up so little space in my bed, but so much room in my chest, was sort of something I couldn't deny. She tilted her head and looked at me, wrinkling her nose. "Do I look a mess?" she asked. I shook my head, unable to speak. I never thought this would happen to me. I never thought I would love someone so much, so fast. I turned and picked up the wrapped box near the door and brought it back to the bed. It was nothing fancy, since I'd wrapped it myself. It was covered in plain red paper and had a gold bow on top. I held out the box and she took it, placing it in her lap on top of the blankets. Her eyes roamed my naked body, heat and appreciation in them. I grinned and reached for a pair of boxers and slid them on. If she kept looking at me like that, I wasn't going to last the next 5 minutes, let alone a couple hours. I slipped into the bed beside her and lay on my side, propping myself up on my elbow. "You gonna open that?" She bit her lip and glanced down at it. Murphy jumped up on the end of the bed and sat down, watching us with his tail swishing back and forth. Rimmel picked up the box and shook it. When that gave away nothing, she smiled and ripped open the paper. I put the gift in a plain white box, so she set it in her lap and pulled the top off to look inside. She glanced at me and grinned. "Thought my Florida girl could use something to keep her warm when I'm not around." "I love them," she said, and pulled out a pair of white fur slipper boots. They had red ribbons at the top to tie them in place. She slid her fingers over the soft white faux fur and sighed in appreciation. With one in each hand, she flung herself at me and wrapped her arms around my neck. "Thank you, Romeo," she said and kissed my cheek. "I love them." "Try them on," I said. Rimmel pushed the covers back and pulled her bare legs out to pull on the boots. She got one on and tied and then pushed her foot down in the other. Her forehead wrinkled. "There's something in there," she said and quickly pulled it back off. "What is it?" "I'm not putting my hand in there," she squealed. "It might be a bug." "A bug?" I was amused. "How would a bug get in there?" She screwed up her face and stuck out her tongue. "Who knows? Bugs are creepy like that." I chuckled and shoved my hand down into the boot. She watched like she was expecting something to eat my hand off. I pulled out the square white box and held it out. "I think it might be for you," I said and winked. Her eyes bounced between me and the box I held.
"The slippers are more than enough."
"I know," I replied and held it out. She took it and lifted the lid. I heard the rustling of tissue paper, and then she stared down at it for a few seconds.
"I need my glasses," she said, her voice whisper soft.
I reached behind me and pulled them off the table and handed them to her. She slid them on and glanced back down.
"It's so beautiful."
Her voice was hushed, like she somehow might disturb the contents of the box, and she stared down at it like it might disappear. It made me worry that maybe she didn't like it. Maybe she was trying to think of something to say.
"If you don't like it,"
I started, and she gasped.
"Of course I like it," she glanced up. "I love it. I've never had anything like it."
Her eyes were sort of misty, and it got to me. It was such a simple gift. I'd spent more money on my parents and, hell, even Brayden. But I knew Rimmel wouldn't like anything flashy. She wouldn't want anything that appeared like I was trying to impress her. I loved that about her. I loved the fact that she hadn't expected anything at all.
"Try it on,"
I said and reached into the box. There wasn't much to the bracelet. The sales lady called it a bangle. It was basically like a thick gold wire that would wrap around her wrist. In the center was a golden heart with two small loops on each side where the bracelet hooked together. I unclasped it, and Rimmel slid her hand through. Once it was around her wrist, I rehooked it and adjusted it so the heart lay flat against the top of her wrist. In the center of the heart, I had R&R engraved in the center. It looked like it had been carved by hand.
"It's so beautiful. It has our initials," she said, running her fingertip over the engraving.
"You know me," I half-joked. "Any way I can get my name on you." She looked up. I felt her hazel eyes on my face.
"I love you."
She didn't say those three words very often. I think they scared her. I think they made her feel vulnerable, like putting out there just how much she cared about me was somehow jinx it, like I would somehow be taken away. It didn't matter that I knew how she felt.
Hearing her say it speared me deep down. I grabbed her face and pulled it to mine. I love you too, baby. I kissed her slow and deep, penetrating her mouth the way her words penetrated my soul. When she pulled back, she glanced down at the gold encircling her wrist and smiled. I got gold because it matches your mom's necklace. It's perfect. Before I could pull her back, she bounded out of the bed and into the other room. Hey! I called after her. She laughed, and I heard a zipper being pulled. A second later, she reappeared, my shirt almost hanging to her knees, one furry boot on and the other missing. I laughed and held out the other slipper. She came over and slid her foot in. When I was done tying the ribbon at the top, she pushed a small box under my nose. I got you something, too. I snatched her around the waist and tossed her down on the bed, coming over her. She laughed. Open it! Still straddling her hips, I sat up and took the gift from her hand. It was a small rectangular box with a dark green ribbon tied around the center. I undid the bow and lifted the lid. Inside was a dog tag necklace on a silver chain. The dog tag itself wasn't silver, but a deep navy color. I lifted it out of the box and held the tag in my palm. The front side had my name and jersey number on it. Romeo, number 24. Turn it over, she said. So I did. The back was also engraved. It read, Anything is possible. And beneath the words was a four-leaf clover. Do you know how hard it is to shop for guys? She said, partly amused. I ran my finger over the clover. I know you gave up an easy path into the NFL when you told Omega to shove it. I know you wouldn't have done that if it weren't for me, Rimmel said, and I looked up from her gift. I wanted you to know I believe in you. I know you're going to get there. I thought maybe the clover would bring you luck. Not that you need... I cut off her words with a kiss. A hot, searing kiss. She groaned as her fingers delved into my hair and her legs wrapped around my waist. Thoughts of giving her body a break were completely forgotten as I pushed my hand beneath the hem of my shirt and massaged her breast. Her head fell to the side, and I took advantage of the opportunity to kiss her bare shoulder. My cock was throbbing for her. I wanted in her so bad I could think of nothing else. The dog tag was still clutched in my hand as I shoved my boxers down. Just enough so I was able to spring free. Her entrance was already slick and hot. With one swift movement, I slid into her body in one long stroke. Both of us gasped on contact. It was the first time I'd forgotten to put on a condom. Holy shit, she felt so tight and hot. Everything was magnified, the way her walls squeezed around my bare skin, the way her juices coated my throbbing manhood. Jesus, I groaned, fighting the urge to pound in her over and over again. Romeo, she whispered, her nails digging into my back. I know, baby, I forgot. I'm sorry. I'll fix it. I started to pull out, and she moaned, her fingers tightening against me. I swallowed thickly. This was the first time I'd been in a woman unwrapped. I had no idea it would feel like this. It was so much more. Just one more, I murmured, pushing myself deep. My entire body shuddered and Rimmel's knees began to shake. In one fluid, fast motion, I pulled out. If I allowed myself just another second inside her like that, I wouldn't be able to pull out. Immediately, I missed her warmth. I reached for a condom as the need to bury myself bareback again roared within me. I pulled on the condom as fast as I could and then surged back inside. I went at her hard, overcome with emotion and need. It didn't take long for both of us to strain against the other as release rocked through her and into me. When it was over, I rolled to the side and blew out a shaky breath. "Does that mean you like it?" she asked, rolling on her side to look at me. I turned my...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?